So, Adam, let's just dive right in.
Let's do it.
This is Best Friends Forever.
I didn't know your chest was hollow. It makes your words kind of hard to swallow. I fell for the same thing that everyone else fell for. The only difference is I got to know you more. But without a heart, you won't know to compliment me. You won't be sympathetic when I'm feeling crabby. You won't know to tell me romantic things and tell me frequently and blatantly. But I'll cure you with perfection. I'll pour it on.
You know, of all of them, the one that was the most difficult for me to wrap my head around was the Best Friends Forever. And I don't know if it was an issue of a kind of like gender perspective, like, you know, wait, am I that guy that they're singing about? I feel like the sentiment of the song is very interesting. It's somebody saying, I'm going to fall in love with you in spite of all of the reasons why I shouldn't do that. And there's something like slightly dark about the surrender in the song. And then you've got that paired with this really almost kind of childlike joy in the lyrics, the way that phrases are stretched out and all that. It's almost like a little kid writing a song or something. So there's this like innocent slash, I know that relationships end in doom.
Well, now let's give a listen to the song written by Jeremy Messersmith.
Okay.
If I had a heart instead of rusted gears, maybe I could love, feel and be sincere, but all I am is hollow, and I can't move my mouth. I've got a head full of
feel like there's a kinship I have with Jeremy, because there's a lot of things going on when I was listening to his phrases that I thought, you know, we should actually write a song together, because I probably would have done something like that.
It's all within energy and laughter, namaste and oh.
I really like the way that he emphasized the last line, which is obviously the most significant of the whole thing. It just seemed to me, with the harmony that was going on and the elongation of phrases, that this is the high point. And then, of course, the song kind of breaks down to this last verse where the Tin Man, Jeremy, says that he's now aware that he has this sense of emotion and says that his heart breaks. And I just think that's kind of this interesting bittersweet epiphany about his own emotional state. It's cool.
Let's move on and hear what POS did with your words. You ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. It's hard to chase with your face till the sun spun from a whirlwind trail marked with a yellow brick. No place like a home on your back, pack light like tonight's been nice, but I'm moving quick. Press on, head on, sped pedal for eons. They speak on the trip, you just be on. Peace. Dip and let the world roll by. Know your role so out of control, let the sparks fly.
From the ends of the earth to your own backyard.
I just thought the POS song was kind of fun, and it seemed like he got the metaphorical nature of the lyric itself. You know, I've never written a hip-hop song, but I think I was sort of thinking of that as I was constructing the verse.
Oh yes, we Midwestin, come up, staying out the ditch, hit the shade, for we melt like a wicked witch. Skin spit, sweat, thin kids jet, Sin City lives on the hell of fresh, all tests, no check, head west, head east, head up, breathe, fed up, get up, leave, make like a doom tree, follow where the breeze be, take only what you need, see the sheep lead from the cow,
from the ends of the earth to your own back.
He definitely didn't take the whole heart angle. There's no Tin Man happening here, but there is this sense of propulsion and the eye of this story is on some sort of journey and moving forward. And
yeah, that's something that I thought was interesting, that POS didn't draw on any characters from The Wizard of Oz to mm-hmm. fuel his lyrics and his song. Are singer-songwriters more likely to write about themselves than hip-hop artists?
I'd say it's probably about the same. I just think there's a different... This is possibly a generalization, but I think that the way that hip-hop artists a lot of times tend to write is they create a rhythmic background, a loop. And I feel like singer-songwriters and guitarists tend to be... Your hands are oftentimes moving in unison with your mouth. And when you don't have to worry about what your hands are doing, and all you have to worry about is the rhyme scheme and the way you're putting words together, all of a sudden it just changes the way that the song goes. It's very freeing. But they won't feel it.
So, Adam, we listened to POS, Jeremy Messersmith, Best Friends Forever. They all came up with songs using the lyrics that you wrote for this project. And I'm wondering if you've written your own song using those same lyrics.
When I wrote these lyrics, I felt like I'm done with them and somebody else can do something with them. And then the more that I listened to other people using the words, they made me think about my own words. And I was sitting around playing guitar and all of a sudden just plugged that chorus in there, from the ends of the earth to your own backyard, and it seemed to work really well with this song. So then I thought, well, what the heck, I'll just finish it.
Are you done?
No.
What do you think it will take for you to finish it off?
A very strong cup of coffee in about an hour and a half. And I think I should be able to do it.
What can we learn about the songwriting process from a project like this?
I think the idea that songwriting is as much an art as a kind of mysterious accidental process is probably one of the kind of central things here. But I also like the idea of people having to write something. I once heard it said that, you know, don't let anyone tell you that writing a pop song is an easy thing. If you have to take an idea and construct something from it, it requires some work. And I think sometimes that's great fuel for a songwriter and artist to kind of do something that they normally wouldn't have to do. It gets their minds working maybe in ways they might not have before.